Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to our first Thursday night. And tonight we're really excited. And Susie has some great stuff to share with you. Sue?
I just want to tell everybody that we have a webinar after tonight's class, after tonight's radio show at 6:15 Pacific Standard Time. You can register by going to www.wantistore.com under the seminar link. It gives you a link to register. It's $10, and you can listen in to Dr. Allen answering questions. Other than that, I hope everybody enjoys our new time. And if you ever want to check out what we have going on, go to our website, www.drpatallen.com. That's it for me, Kelly.
Thanks, Sue. And don't forget, everybody, you can sign up for our newsletter there, and then you'll get all the juicy information ahead of time before everybody else. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm just fine. I am absolutely enjoying the changes in my life with the modification of schedules and things. Working just fine.
So you're enjoying this new time slot?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I'm going to enjoy working with people after the radio show with the webinar.
I know. That's so exciting. So why don't we start out right away with a question that I have here. Okay. Here's my question. I dated a man off and on for many years. Initially, I was not into him. He was a great friend. Fast forward years later, we had an unplanned pregnancy that resulted in a child. He spent a significant amount of time with me and my family, but he says he doesn't want a relationship. I regret not seizing the moment, but I understand what happened after reading Getting to I Do. I'm constantly emasculating him over the years. Now that I've decided to be the woman and use the principles in your book, we've gotten along better than ever. However, he states he's not interested in a relationship with anyone. Although I'm aware that he has female friends, what should I do? I want my family back. We're not sexually involved and haven't been in almost a year. He's becoming guarded with me. I'm clueless on what to do.
Nothing, because what you're saying is, what can I do to run this relationship? You can't do anything. You have probably reached the apex of the benefits of this relationship, which are the child and this rather non-structured family. So if I were you, the best thing you can do is to go out and find his replacement, because in getting a replacement, he will have to deal with the issue of whether he wants to be replaced or not. So I would suggest that you get into your 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, flirting in appropriate places, and basically rank order. He can have first slot until somebody comes along and replaces him.
All right. Terrific. So let me see what else we've got going on here. As a recovering as a recovering norepinephrine addict, making and seeking commitments with myself is super challenging and discouraging, which leaves me feeling ineffectual and unkind to myself. Would you please advise me on this?
Well, first of all, if you're a true norepinephrine addict, you believe you're worthy, that's if you're a woman, or you're deserving, and that's a man, of being in pain. So what you're saying is that you have missed the one point that I always stress. Norepinephrine addicts have to desensitize to the anxiety of pleasure. You have to do so many things a day that are going to be good for you that in the past you would not have gone into or allowed or done or received. So the only way to desensitize norepinephrine is by allowing pleasure to come to you. I'm working on that. I am a recovering norepinephrine addict. And that, for those of you that don't know what I'm saying, we have three major neurotransmitters. Serotonin, which is the one that releases, which is the one that tranquilizes us. We have about four cycles every night of releasing serotonin into our systems so that we rest and we can be ready for the next day. Then we have dopamine, which is an upper. Sex, money, and mind-altering chemicals, whether you buy it or make it on your in your body, are those that produce the norepinephrine. Then you have the fateful one called norepinephrine. It used to be years ago they sold epinephrine in the stores for rev up and until they found out that epinephrine had the capacity to blow your heart to bits. So then they stopped selling epinephrine, and then we just dealt with the norepinephrine. In England, it's called noradrenaline. In the wild, in the Neanderthal days, picture the buffalo racing across the field. And when they race like that, they predispose themselves to heart attacks, fall down, break, and abandon calves. But nature, in its real savvy nature, releases norepinephrine to down us. It's a depressant, but when used appropriately to help de-escalate excessive levels of dopamine highs, it's good. But if you have been raised on too much norepinephrine before the age of three, when your mirror neurons are set. Now, what are mirror neurons? Mirror neurons are the reflecting cells in our brain that must be stimulated by other human beings with pleasure. And so what happens is you, in fact, down yourself before you've even had any pleasure. So the secret is have pleasure. Whether it's bubble baths or getting massages or going for what I call a party, that's a food that you wouldn't eat it every day, but you eat it for the pleasure of it, you know, on a regular basis. So I say that what you've said in your question does not deal with the issue of the fear of pleasure. Why could we be afraid of pleasure? Because as children, when we were seeking pleasure, somebody would take it away. Don't do that. Don't say that. You should be this. You shouldn't be that. You see, scripting is what families, churches, governments do to us in order to keep us in a organized, stable fashion, which ultimately ruins our ability to be individuals.
Very See? Interesting. Yes, I do. So here's our next question. Dr. Allen, greetings from Europe. Yes. We listen to your live show the next day after we wake up. I have a question. After listening to everything you say and knowing the tendency of men's scripts to be one up or woman to be one down, how do we communicate to men that we women don't want to be one down or submissive? How do we find those men willing to build relationships consciously by learning to improve on communication?
What you do is go where the men are, that you, wherever you're happy. Do you like to play golf? Do you like to play tennis? Because that's one compatibility of mutual pleasure that could allow you to be in the area of men that are like you. So you have to find the little animals that fit your little animal world, period. Then you have to decide how you're going to deal with them. And the way you deal with them is either talking or touching. Now, I recommend, as you know, that we don't touch too intimately. In other words, if you're a woman, you're better designed to receive the pleasure of a man than to go after him, unless you're in the sex business or you're a masseuse or you're someone who's doing something that basically men pay for with money that brings them pleasure. Okay? So there you are out there dating on the golf course or the tennis court or wherever you are, and you're looking in their eyes, but you're not talking, because talking is a masculine skill. It's yang. It's doing something to get the pleasure you want. So what you do is you look them in the eyes and basically smile. That's it. You do what every good, healthy baby in a little pram does every day, and what a little doggy does when its owner, the woman, takes it for a walk and the doggy jumps all over the nice man and he talks about the dog. In other words, you have a reason to tear to talk with them, but you don't do the original talking. They do. So you put yourself where you need to be, and then you smile, look them in the eyes, and then you respond to whatever they say in a respectful fashion, with humor, if that's appropriate, because the more you respect a man, the more he paradoxically feels cherished. And then he feels good enough to cherish you. When you attempt to get respect, the problem is you will sadly get it. And when you get respect, I've got too many men. So how do you speak like a woman? Well, I'll put the tools right here. Number one, when you're interested in building a friendship or a love affair or something with a man, please don't ask him what he feels unless he's ill. Don't ask him if he's happy or sad. Don't ask him, like a mother or a therapist, to help him feel better psychologically. When he's physically ill, yes, help him and ask if he wants help. Now, the first question, if he asks you what you think and you're not working together and making money, please tell him what you feel, not what you think. And then you can go on to the third tool, and the third tool is the second tool. When you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question a man, you have to make an appointment, ladies. You can't just barrel into his left lobe unless you're his mother, his teacher, and you're under 10, and or you're a business owner. You have a right to be a man then. So when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan in a personal relationship, you have got to make an appointment. Honey, son, father, brother, boyfriend, husband, I have an idea. I have a want. I have an opinion about this subject. When would it be convenient, hopefully today, for you to hear me so that we can discuss it? Now, why today? Because when you go to sleep at night, you have a tendency to paper shred. There's even a form of therapy called EMDR, and tapping also does the same thing. It distracts the body by dealing with the pain the body is feeling. So in this particular case, what you do is you make an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, and then you tell the subject matter, and then you make an appointment, make you ask for the subject matter. I want to talk to you about the dogs. I want to talk to you about the kids, whatever the subject is. When would it be convenient? Hopefully today. Okay, that's making that appointment. The third tool, how to fight with a man. Now, one of the things that I want to mention is if you're the man and you're the respected, over-cherished one in the family, you need to be respected. But if you want to be cherished, he needs to be respected. If you're gay, then the what we would call the top man needs to be respected. The bottom man needs to be cherished. If you're lesbian, the butch, what they slang-wise, the butch, the masculine yang girl, is the one that wants to be respected. And the femme is the one that wants to be cherished. So we're all androgynous. We're all male. We're all female. Okay? So when you want to, when you have to fight with a man, when you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, you've got to do it, because there's no therapy that's going to handle, you know, a smash in the mouth or having him steal your inheritance money from the bank, which belongs to you. No, not going to do that. So if you have to call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer, do it. But if you don't have to do that, make him right. Honey, you had a right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. You had a right to not do what you said you were going to do. You have a right to be you, but I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't want to be uncomfortable. What do you think about doing it this way or not doing it that way? And what can I do to help us do it together?
That's great advice.
There. Now I'm not done.
Okay.
There is a fourth tool. 90% of all communication is nonverbal. Tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions. You can't. Now, when you were a kid, you know what your mother, get that look off your face. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. You see, we are not doing that anymore since people like me, transactional analysts in particular, are analyzing communication, the quantum mechanics of words as they impact the quantum physics of energy, yin and yang. So here's what we do. I sense by the tone of your voice you're upset. Am I right? Yes or no? Yes, you are right. When would it be convenient, honey, sir? When would it be comfortable, Missy? That's a daughter, a mother, a sister. For you to talk to me about it. Another way. I believe by the look on your face that you're upset about something. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Don't talk to me about that Pat Allen stuff. Okay. If you're ever upset, please feel free to bring it up. Look at your watch. Within an hour, they'll be back. I'm upset. Yeah, I know. I saw it on your, you know, I did notice it on your body. Is it convenient for you to talk about it? Is it comfortable for you to talk about it now? Yes? Good. Do it. What can I do to help us do better, dear husband, brother, son, father? What can I do to help us feel better, dear daughter, mother, sister? Do you see? And the last tool is one that every referee knows. Time out. It's a hand signal. One of the early, early stages of communication. When you see your man give you the time out, ask him immediately, what can I do to help us do better right now? When you see a woman you love, daughter, sister, mother, they put their hand up in a timeout. What can I do to help us feel better, dear sis, mom, daughter, lover, whoever? And those are the five tools.
Those are great tools.
Yeah, they are. They're the gist of my doctoral dissertation, Androgynous Semantic Realignment.
Beautiful. So we have another question. During the dating process, how can the woman find out what style of relationship the man is after? if he is the one interviewing her and doesn't touch upon the subject at all. How to hear from him about without asking. In other words, how to understand what he's...
You don't have to do it. The first sign a man is interested is as he says, are you dating? Of course. Aren't you dating? I'm not in a committed relationship. Are you? So what you do is you wait for that first signal. Remember, I'm going to tell you something. Do you know that jealousy is very positive? Because it indicates territorial importance. And there's a wonderful book by David Buss, and it's called Dangerous Passions. Because without jealousy, sure, some of you like open relationships and polyamorous relationships, but that's where I make my money eventually, because when love really is present, territorial occurs. So the first sign of territoriality is, are you dating others? They look at, you know, on your website and things, they find out, and you find out as well. The second sign of seriousness is he wants to have intercourse. You probably have been being affectionate because that's we people like touching. You've probably been kissing and back scratching and maybe some other intimate things that you're doing with your body. But when he wants to have intercourse, that's inserting his penis into some orifice in your body. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, blowjobs are intercourse. They're not in the same category as hand jobs. So with that in mind, before you let him in, which is a favorite Pat Allen kind of cliche remark, before you let him in, you say to him, when he asks or goes for it, I really appreciate that you want to make love to me, but I've made a commitment to myself that I'm not going to have casual sex because I don't want to be single for the rest of my life. So with that in mind, are you ready, sir, on our second date to form a sexual and social monogamy with me, to see me on a regular basis? And to start planning a marriage or a mating. Marriage is a government-approved mating, and mating is a non-documented marriage. So I don't mind if you mate or you marry, but longevity, continuity, and exclusivity, sexually and socially. What is that, Pat Allen? Well, sexual monogamy, we know. That's not having intercourse. What's social monogamy? Well, I'll tell you, in the old days before AIDS and before the killer diseases, people were more prone to have casual sex. But now we know that's a dangerous sport. More people die of misused sexuality. So here's what people, especially men or masculine women, do. Sure, I'll be sexually monogamous. And then you find out they're back on the website, the Facebooks. They're still portraying themselves to the world as if they're available for a relationship. And they may even put on their profiles they're available for a relationship. So that's the one where he's asking to have intercourse, and you ask him if he's ready to be sexually and socially monogamous. Continuous dating, whatever your schedule is, and long-term, mated or married. And you decide what you want, Missy, whether you want a mate. I've got women that don't want to legally marry. They don't want to be what they call a nurse or a purse. This is older women especially. And I've got people that don't want to marry ever. And the way you find out is by not playing house with them. When you act as if you're married, remember, ladies, and that means women under 45 and men over 55, because both under 45 and over 55 people are really starting to be impacted by the estrogen in their body. As women go down in estrogen, their male hormones start to impact them and they become more masculine, yang. And when men's testosterone goes down, the estrogen that's always been in their body, since before birth, in fact, starts impacting. So when you're 55, 60, 65 years old, you're both females and you're both males. And that's a communication issue I don't want to bring up right here. But I'm saying that you basically have to communicate in a way that allows you to be complementary, and that means by energy basis. So that's how you find out if he's significant. When he goes for it, you tell him what it's going to cost. But women can be yang and men can be yin. There are men that do not want to have intercourse before they marry or are engaged, because they're afraid of the performance factor. And there are women that want to have sex by the third date because they think, well, he must be gay. Why wouldn't he want to have sex with me? That is a yang woman. And we all can be yin and we all can be yang.
Great. So I have another question here. Is it normal for a woman to not want to have intercourse after pregnancy?
Yes, I think I just described her.
Okay.
Some women, once they have a baby, don't want to go through the process again. And so they don't.
So yes. is it a temporary situation, or does it require, for instance, EMDR?
It may require EMDR for a traumatic birth event. You see, some births can be worse than others. Okay.
So like an emergency C-section or laboring for several days.
Days, yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
There are things like this. They have a disabled child and they don't want to risk another one.
You see? Yes. Okay.
Here's another one. Very often when women get pregnant, they binge on food. Mm-hmm. They don't in their heads think they have to. Well, let's put it this way. They don't know the Harvard study of 10,000 people that men marry and mate for sensual and sexual stability. Women mate and marry for status and financial stability. Mm. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so when women get over secure, they often don't take care of their bodies, and that turns men off, and then they go out and get lovers, and it all goes down. So women marry for money and status. Men marry for sensual and sexual. Sensuous is a nice home and a resting place.
Okay. Terrific. So is Sue Wagner still?
I'm here.
Sue, can you just reiterate for everybody right now what's going on with the seminar, and that I realize the cutoff point is we're 1 minute away from it.
Oh,
so
I just shut it off. We will be having a webinar next Thursday, October 13th, from 6:15 to 7:30. And what you can do is you can participate by being in the hot seat. It's over the internet or on the phone. And Pat will take questions and answers. And then once you register, you'll also get the recording. It's a little bit the same as on the radio format, just a little different. She works. We actually have the people on listening.
And, so it's more like Monday night?
It's like the Monday night and Wednesday night, exactly. For people out of the area that cannot attend the LA and Orange County seminars.
Awesome. So do we have any classes coming up?
We have a one-day dream class on Saturday, October 15th from 9 to 4. It's in Dr. Allen's Newport Beach office on 901 Dove Street. It's from 9 to 4, and it's $100. And what you'll do is you bring in your dreams, and Dr. Allen will analyze them for you because the dreams are what's going on. Pat will tell you about that. And then we also have a life script class. Let's see. November class is full, so the next one is December 3rd, and it's from 9 to 4. It's $150. It's limited to 6 attendees, and Dr. Allen will tell a little bit about the life script as well. And we still have our ongoing Monday, the first Monday of every month, at the Courtyard Marriott in Culver City, 7 to 9, $10, and in Orange County at the Costa Mesa Community Center, from 7 to 8:30, and that's $5. And the Costa Mesa, starting January 2017, we will change our location to the Newport Beach Community Center. And that address is posted. It's 100 Civic Center Drive in Newport Beach. That we'll have everything listed on the website as well. And we'll inform everybody as it gets closer to 2017. Unfortunately, yes. The community center is shutting their doors and tearing down the building to build a newer building.
Oh, okay. So everybody can find that information on the website, and they should sign up for the newsletter because then they'll get blasts from you.
Yes.
And they should follow us on Facebook because we pass that information on their Facebook, Twitter, and Google+.
Yes.
So one of the ladies has a question here, Sue, and you may be able to answer it better than either Pat or I. And it is, for the scripts class, is there someplace we can download the script paperwork that we're supposed to do?
No. They contact, once they register, I send it to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So in answer to your question, if you'd like to join in the scripts class, you would get that information and the paperwork when you join. Okay. Awesome. So we have another question here, Dr. Allen.
Are we inviting anyone to call us? Are we giving the number out?
We always have the number out and ready. It's 323-203-0815.
Good.
And so they can definitely call in, but they may be, I have a few people here that are too shy to call in. And one is a gentleman. And he says, I don't want to call in because my wife is a regular listener of the show. And I've overheard the show while she's listening to it. So I fear she will recognize my voice. The problem is that after 17 years of marriage, she no longer seems interested in me as a man or as a husband. I feel like a workhorse that gets asked to do things, but I never even get the reward of a thank you. Am I just being a big baby, or is my complaint valid?
Your complaint is valid. Apparently, your wife's father was not a cherishing man for maybe even her mother or for her, and you're getting the daddy bill. Now, the daddy bill is just whatever daddy does to a kid under 3, under 5, little kids. A daddy is a person who devotes his life to that person's benefit, even when he gets nothing in return. Mothers do it, but fathers are asked to do it as well. The only problem with being a father, as I've told you in the early part of the show, is that your job is status and financial security, generally speaking. Do you see? And so I want to give the tools of a man when he has a problem with his wife. Number one tool, please don't ask her what she thinks, what she wants. Do you think you respect me? Don't ask her that. What you say to her is, How do you feel about me? How do you feel about what I'm doing with, for, to you and the kids? Oh, you think I'm doing it? No, I don't want to know what you think about it. I want to know what you feel about it. And then the second question, when you want to bitch and moan, teach and preach, you've got to make an appointment. Honey, I want to say some things to you about our marriage that may be painful. When would you be comfortable hearing me? Hopefully today, hopefully now. That's the second tool.
Mm-hmm.
The third tool is how to fight. If you have to call, I've had five women arrested by five men because they smacked the men across the face and the glasses cut the top of their nose, and police and judges don't like that. And you go to jail, even if you're a woman. So women are sometimes becoming bullies today.
Yeah.
Masculine. You know what I mean?
We've seen that more and more.
More and more. And I would dare say, wherever you find mayhem in high schools and junior high schools, find the bully woman teasing the wussy little boy, and you'll see what rage can do. Do you understand?
Right. Yeah. We have a caller.
Oh, you got a caller. Well, we got to take a caller.
Caller, are you on the air?
Thank you. I had a question. Last week, you, Dr. Patel, mentioned that anxiety is good for the nervous system, and I was wondering if you could cite a study or the books that you have information about before.
You're saying something about anxiety?
Yeah, anxiety. You said last week that anxiety is good for the nervous system.
Oh, God, yes. You know, have you ever seen people in pictures doing crossword puzzles, which are fine? Do you understand that anxiety is creativity? And creativity produces the electricity that causes the neurotransmitters to jump over the synaptic gap. Because all of our neurons are freestanding, and there's a gap between them, which is connected with the energy of the neurotransmitters. So when you do creative things, or as George Bernard Shaw says, growing old is not losing fun, not having fun is not because we're growing old. Growing old is because we're not playing. We have to have the anxiety of creativity. Do you see? Whether it's driving to a new library or whether it's taking on a new task, you've got to be at the constant edge. You know what? Your growing point is at the edge of your comfort zone. If you're living nothing but comfort zone, your brain is not going to stay wired. You are going to be more susceptible for depression, dementia, and any other form of brain breakdown. I'm 82 years old, and I have been living creatively and painfully, no matter how scary it is.
Can you cite the researcher, study, or book that you got this
information
from?
I'd love
to.
Norman Doidge. Oh, you asked the original librarian. Norman Doidge. His book is The Brain That Changes Itself, about the Italian research some numbers of years ago that discovered this particular phenomenon. He also has a second book, Norman Doidge, and the book is called How the Brain Heals Itself. And that's where the preposterous proposal that anxiety can be good. And now I'm going to give you another book by Robert Sapolsky, professor at Stanford, who specializes in anxiety. And the book is called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Is that good enough, darling?
That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Go for it and call back.
I will. Thanks, thank caller.
You. Thank you.
Okay. Let me see here. We've got so many questions.
I don't think I've finished my other things for men.
Oh, I don't think so, but we've got another caller.
Forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
We don't have another caller.
Oh, five, Kelly,
four,
Kelly,
one,
you might
two.
Want to tell the people that they will be called back when they call in. I think it's confusing them.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
There we go. Hi, caller.
Oh, that's nice. You guys called back.
Yeah,
I wasn't getting
you.
Oh, great. Well, I have a question back about your previous conversation. So I'm dating a guy who's actually acting kind of like we're in a monogamous relationship, although we're just at the end of the first 3 months. He calls me every, or texts me every night. And
wait a minute. Has
morning.
He gotten in?
No, absolutely not. We don't even kiss.
Well, that don't go too far. One of my students wrote a book called Kiss, Kiss. She teaches her students not to do that because it's so tempting to go farther. Oh, what is
well,
her
we
name?
Will, but he's okay. So the situation is he's legally separated, but he's not quite divorced, although he's very transparent about where he's at with it. He's been legally separated.
Darling, a man is married until the government says he's not married.
Right. So I told him, that's why I said we can't touch or kiss, but I'll become your friend. We can get to know each other. We went on 3 dates, and then we really like each other. There's obvious chemistry, communication, and so far compatibility. So I said,
you're not compatible because he's married and you're single, but you want to have a relationship.
Well, because I think there's a lot of potential.
I got news for you. Being a mistress is a smashing event.
So the compromise, the negotiation that I did was, okay, well, we can become friends. We could do that over the phone, you know, until you're legally divorced.
I hate to mention this. Oxytocin is not very stimulated by phone calls.
Well, but we've also seen each other, okay? So
it's important. It's smelling each other.
Well, we've gotten close, and we are affectionate. We just don't
have intercourse.
We touch each other. We don't have intercourse. We don't kiss.
No, I don't care about kissing. I don't care about
kissing. Well, that's the limitation I put because I don't want to be a mistress. I want to be his girlfriend eventually.
Have you, my precious one, have you told him the boundaries?
Absolutely. He likes it. So, in fact, he said, you know, this isn't my rules. I would never go about it like this, but I actually really like it.
I know it because he doesn't have the responsibility to make love to you until he sees how in love he is.
Right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and I appreciate it.
You know,
it's really wonderful.
Do you know why men's penises go slack at around 50?
Why?
Because they try to have sex instead of making love.
Well, he talks about making love. He goes, because we flirt and stuff.
Wait a minute. Making love has to do with friendship, compatibility, communication, believing in the contracts you're creating.
Right.
You see? That's making love.
Right.
Having
doggies
have sex.
Right. I mean,
so what's your question?
I mean, all the things. So my question is, I'm getting a few mixed messages, but it may be because he's in this situation and he knows. So he talks like, you know, I'm in this for the long term. I'm looking, and he has other things that he suggests. And he calls me or texts me every night and morning.
What is the question?
So, but then, like, I found that he was on Tinder still. Well, I saw it, the app on his phone.
I want you to notice what you just said and what I said a few minutes ago, that men that promise monogamy, which he's conveying to you, may still be very, very polygamous socially. So what you're doing is dating a nice man with potential.
Right. So, but I said it bothered me. I said, you weren't doing anything wrong, for goodness sake. You're not even divorced. And I understand that. So, but my husband had
You know what's happening?
Me.
your jealousy territoriality, which is normality, is coming up.
Uh-huh.
The only problem is it's going to come out of your mouth and irritate him beyond belief.
Well, he wasn't so irritated then. He says, well, I'll delete it. I told him, I go, you hadn't done anything wrong, and it's more my trauma from my first marriage. But he offered to delete it, and then he was really kind, and he kind of, you know, really made up stuff, made a real effort to rectify the wrong. But I did mention at that point, well, what about any other dating sites that you might be on? And he got a little irritated.
Now, I want you to
hear,
are you being masculine? Are you going after what you want?
No, I'm being so feminine. He always tells me, Pat, you'd be
Wait
so
a
proud
minute.
Because I'm so masculine.
You're
he's
asking
always telling
him,
me I'm such a girl.
On, you do understand you don't have an agreement to monogamy.
Right, I understand.
But
so what I'm saying is...
You're asking him if he's on other sites.
Right. So, okay, that was my territorial
mistake.
Kind of jealousy mistake. Absolutely. So, but the thing I'm asking is, he's giving
what?
Me mixed messages. He's treating me like we're in a monogamous relationship,
Honey,
sorta.
I think mixed messages is what it's all about.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's called flirting. It's called sweet talk. It's called con man.
Oh,
I
so
want
I'm not
you
supposed
to
believe anything he says?
What?
I'm not supposed to believe what he's saying?
Not until you and he discuss it. You're taking loving statements and turning them into contracts to such a degree you're actually quizzing him on whether he's breaking the imaginary contracts.
Well, I just then no, let me please clarify myself if I may. I said when we were talking about this Tinder and I go, you know, I don't mind. I mean, I know we're not in a monogamous relationship. I go, just the other day, a guy asked me out, and I asked my girlfriend.
And that's called vengeance. Wait a minute. Now
No. No, I didn't even know if he was dating. Can I finish? He said, first of all, when I mentioned the Tinder thing, he said, well, I only have eyes for you. He said, I don't want to date anybody else, and Tinder's not fun. And I go, well, I think it's fun and whatever. But he goes, well, I'll delete it. I didn't ask him. He just offered. And then he said he did.
You understand that all these things he's giving up are you being his mommy and potty training him.
So, okay, let me finish. I didn't realize that. But anyway. Yeah,
well, that's what I'm trying to say to you, but you don't want me to speak.
No, I do want you to speak, but I want you to also hear what on the other side of it, because I think it's significant, is that I wasn't being vengeful. I was just saying, look, just the other day, a guy asked me out when we were having this conversation about Tinder. And I said, and I asked my girlfriend if I should go out. And he goes, well, why do you even consider that it's so significant that you have to ask your girlfriend if you could go out? And I said, well, because I don't want to become prematurely monogamous. And I said, so I just want to know what the rules of the game are. I mean, if, you know, and I said, I can play, but he didn't answer. He didn't answer me.
No, he couldn't answer.
Why?
Because you were controlling the scene.
Well, I just wanted to know what was going on, what his
Nothing is going on, and you had no business asking. Passive, patient, and vulnerable is feminine. Competing, conquering, and controlling are masculine. Well, everything you've been doing on this call is controlling, including me. I have no problem with women being men. None. I have no problem with men being women as long as they both know what they're doing.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, but you're
I want to be the feminine energy.
Then I suggest, basically, he's not put his dick in your mouth, anus, or vagina. You have no power.
Right.
So enjoy dating him and two others. And two others. When he asks you to stop dating, stop. Then you can say, oh, by the way, you too. When he says, I want to make love to you, intercourse with you, say thank you.
Yeah.
Then say, Does that mean we're going to be monogamous, continuous, and long-term? Because I'm aiming for a possible marriage. Are you? Honey,
so
I would advise you to just date him and know he hasn't made any requests for monogamy, continuity, and longevity. He said the following: I'm not dating anybody else. Do you know why? He's getting enough from you. That doesn't mean he's not available to date other people. And when you tell him somebody's dating you, you are putting a needle in his scrotum. Men are exceptionally territorial.
Well, but like these guys, I've figured out what they do. They call you Friday night to see if you're out and about dating. Or they'll call, he waits, and I'm trying to be available for him, and nobody asked me out anyway, but I didn't try to schedule something with my girlfriend. And he waits till Friday afternoon and asks me out, and I have to be available.
Do you say yes or no?
Well, I say yes. I want to see him. I'm available.
Fine. Do you have
but
always
what I'm saying
have...
is I think they're testing to see
yes, they
if
are,
you're dating
dear.
Other people.
I know
I'm going to have to interrupt, and I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, caller, but do call us back next Thursday with an update. Dr. Allen, we're out of time. What do you have to say?
What I have to say is the way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? What do I have that I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Beautiful. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you'll be back with us next Thursday for the show. And we hope that you'll stay for the seminars after the shows on Thursday. Sign up for those. Go to our website, www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook. Tweet with us because we love it. And give us a one-up on Google+.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.